Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Hey, have you got any Bills questions? This is the time to give us a call. 803-0550, so you can bring them up with Sal Capaccio. Sal's going to be on the sidelines at the stadium on Sunday. Murph and Eric Wood up in the broadcast booth for the 1 o'clock game between the Bills and the Bengals. And Sal's segment with us is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Excellent, guys. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So Sean McDermott will meet with you later this morning. Well, not you individually. All the media, I assume, are invited.
Maybe I could try, but, you know, see what happens, you know.
Just for Sal today, boys. You're going to be like, you are the pool reporter for Sean McDermott's press conference today. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I don't need that job. I'm good where I am. So that's good. That's good.
Injury news.
We got guys who do a good job of that.
You're right. Injury news. We'll all be waiting to see what happens. But there are three guys I want to ask you about. I guess we'll all wonder what's going on with Singletary. But also, Sal, how close are they getting in terms of Tyler Kroft and Andre Roberts?
Well, we don't know, obviously, so we'll get an update. From my perspective, though, you know, I'm still wondering what's going on with Andre Roberts. That, you know, it's he was fine all through preseason, and he even practiced the first practice of the week before the opener. And then we get to Wednesday, I believe it was, and, you know, he wasn't out there. And they said, you know, he had the injury, the quad injury. And you think, you know, remember, Tre'Davious White had a quad injury in that last game, and he was fine after that. So I think that, you know, coming off the heels of that, you think about that word, quad, you think about it and say, okay, maybe, you know, he should be okay. But you don't know, and all these things are different. And he just hasn't been out there at all. So I'm wondering, you know, where this is at, what's going on, but he has not been out there participating in any fashion. He's been in street clothes, kind of walking around, but I haven't seen him really doing any work out there. So we'll see about that. Hopefully they get him back. You know, that would be a really nice boost for the special teams game.
Yeah.
And it does give an extra, you know, wide receiver to at least have available if they want to do that. Maybe have him, maybe have Isaiah McKenzie inactive. I don't know. Maybe they would have him all active depending on the game plan. Tyler Kroft is interesting. I really love the progression here because – whereas, you know, you look at Andre Roberts and it seems like there's just been nothing going on and we don't know. Tyler Kroft, going back to OTAs and minicamp, you know, he was out the entire time there because he broke his foot on the first day of OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't do anything in training camp. But then suddenly you started to see him on the sidelines at training camp. Suddenly you started to see him, you know, outside the walk without a walking boot on. And then we get into the regular season and he's doubtful. And then he's questionable. And now he seems like he's doing most of everything he needs to do. So I know Sean McDermott said that he's progressing very well. Him and Sean both said that he was getting close. And the fact that they didn't put him on IR means that they definitely thought he would be ready to go before the eight-week moratorium on bringing a guy back. So, or even on PUP, that means it'd be before 6 weeks. Well, here we are in week three. He plays his former team at home. I'm wondering if this is the spot where we see Tyler Kroft this week. We'll find out.
When he does play, what will he bring to this offense? Why did they want him?
You know, he's a red zone guy, and they don't really have a guy like that. Now, people could say, well, then bring Duke Williams up. Okay, that's fine. I mean, you could do that, but, you know, there's more that goes into, you know, being on the field a little bit more often than that. As far as wide receiver, you can't just, you know, bring the guy up and then, you know, have to make some roster moves to try and massage that. And that's fine. I think Duke Williams, you know, had a nice camp in preseason if they want to do something like that. But there are some roster decisions you have to make. With Tyler Kroft, he's already here. He's already on the roster. He's just been inactive.
Mm-hmm.
So you could basically just have him active, and then you throw him in there, and I think he really would help out in the red zone. You know, he's a good, not great blocker. The young guys are still learning. They're nice. I like the young tight ends they have. It's going to be some decisions. There's going to be some decisions, I should say, when it comes to tight end, if and when Tyler Kroft is available, because I can't see them addressing four tight ends in a game. So who becomes inactive? Is it going to be – I mean, Lee Smith is your blocking tight end, and he does a nice job, and I think they'd like to have that. You kind of – you got Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney, who are kind of like the same kind of guy a little bit, right? Even though I like what they've done, I do think it brings into question what you want to do. You could – they could justify dressing four tight ends if they don't dress an extra offensive lineman, maybe, something like that. You could do that. But I think he brings really more of a red zone element. You know, he's been in this league 4 years. He's had production. You go back to just a couple of years ago in Cincinnati when he did play all 16 games, and he caught over 400 yards in reception and seven touchdowns. So I think that's really what he would bring.
It's funny. You bring up Lee Smith. I'm going to get calls here in a moment. Sal's with us, 803-0550. And I'm not going to lie, Sal. I don't really ever get excited when someone tells me there's a blocking tight end the Bills brought in. Mm-hmm. But I haven't even checked his snap counts for the first two games, but it feels like he's, you know, been a really nice pickup for them and is playing a pretty solid role, whether it's run blocking, whether it's if he's kept in the pass protect or blocking on pass plays, screen plays, whatever. It seems like he's had a nice couple games here so far.
The fact is he's one of the better blocking tight ends in the NFL. I mean, that's what he is. And they kind of can treat him like an extra offensive lineman if they want. You know, the Bills have brought out and they've put a couple tight ends on one side, you know, and they have Lee Smith, so they're kind of going heavy with a package there. And then he caught a nice ball, by the way, last week. He made a nice catch for a first down on a third down early in the game. So, yeah, he does a nice job. This is why they brought him in. And they gave him some money, and I think people, you know, looked at the money and said, well, that's too much. And I understand that. I mean, maybe for a blocking tight end, especially now with the situation you have, and you could say you didn't really have to do that. But they really wanted a guy at that position who they could rely on to be a blocking tight end. And so far, so good. He's done a nice job in that area.
803-0550 to join us this morning. We are with Sal on our West Her Hotline. John, you're on WGR with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. I listened to your Sal's comments and how he was pretty impressed with the amount of Buffalo Bills people. And I couldn't agree more. I was at the game. And I took my 6- and 5-year-old kids to the Bills-Titans game in Buffalo last year. And we were really hard-pressed to find anybody in the stadium or in the parking lots that was not wearing Buffalo Bills. And we went to that Giants game from the 8 o'clock time that we went through it in the front gate in my friend's RV. So the moment we left, a lot of Bills fans, even in RVs. It was so impressive. And I want to ask a question about Robert Foster, too.
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead. Yeah.
Is Robert Foster, is he 100% healthy? Because I expected more from him, and it seems like he's barely visible on the field. I thought he had a lingering foot issue or something going on in our training camp.
No, I mean, he's 100% healthy as far as I know. I mean, he's playing. He's actually contributing more on special teams than he is in the passing game, and I think a lot of people are surprised by that. Going into this season, I think it was expected that Robert Foster would be a very big part of their passing game. But look, they signed John Brown and Cole Beasley to be on the field a lot, and they have been on the field a lot, and they've been major contributors. And look, we all can say, Robert Foster, wow, look at this talent. We saw what he brought to the table at the end of last season. He should be on the field more. But at the end of the day, they're moving the ball through the air. Josh Allen has thrown for over 250 yards in a couple games, and they've been very good in the passing game. So, you know, I mean, right now, the way they're doing it is working. So Robert Foster is just biding his time, and when he gets an opportunity, I think here's what I suspect is going to happen, Howard and Jeremy, which is I think Robert Foster is the kind of guy. There was an interesting comment that Brandon Bean, you know, made to us during one of the preseason production meetings, which is he said he's the kind of guy that when you have a certain specific like game plan for him and you can do something like that's when he'll even excel even more. And like if they have a plan for him in a game and whenever that's going to be, I suspect that's going to happen at some point where they say this is a game where we think Robert Foster can have a matchup opposite, you know, John Brown, and he gets more snaps on offense. Right now he's playing. He does get offensive snaps, but he's mostly on special teams and contributing, and that's the role that they want him in.
I was going to ask you about the other receivers, and I think, you know, the caller brought up Foster. You can throw him McKenzie, though he had a touchdown the other day, and he's a nice weapon on the jet sweeps. And to a lesser extent, Zay Jones. I mean, he's getting targeted, not a ton, but is it just a simple answer of, hey, Brown and Beasley are really good, and they're going to be the focal point of the passing game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is what they signed them to do. They really love these guys and what they bring as far as route running, the ability to catch, and their communication with Josh, their understanding of a defense. You know, let's remember, too, you know, Robert Foster is in his second year. And most of his plays last year came down the field, running past people. He did other things, But you wonder if maybe the offense now, where they brought it to, is something that they want to make, you know, still get him acclimated to, as these other guys. Yeah. These guys have been in the league a while. You know, you're talking about John Brown, who's been in the league for several years, and Cole Beasley, who's on his fifth year, and even Zay Jones, who, you know, he's in his third year here in Buffalo. But I wonder if maybe that's part of it. You know, as the offense has changed a little bit, they've added more to the plate, and they feel more comfortable with guys who are veterans, who are out there, who understand the nuances of what they want from the position, where you have a player here in Robert Foster who is still kind of learning all of that kind of stuff. And you know the way that this coaching staff is. They believe in that. They believe in the process of it, forgive the word, but that's what it is. You know, and that to me, that's also maybe why we don't see Devin Singletary get the ball as much, even though he's on the field, which is, you know, they're bringing him along. And at some point, they feel that he's ready for more on his plate. He's ready to do more, you know, whether that's in the running game or the passing game or blitz pickups and things like that. Now, he's been on the field. He's taken his snaps. He just hasn't gotten the ball. But I think we see that evolution that they believe in with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, the Singletary thing, that I'm with everybody else. We're like wondering why he's not getting more carries. And now, of course, he's injured, and we'll see what happens. But why he looks like he can provide a real good spark to this offense, he did in the first game against the Jets, and why he's not getting more carries than he's gotten.
Well, yeah. I agree. I'd like to see him get more carries. But again, it goes back to
timing.
Telling you they're right or wrong. I'm just telling you what the philosophy probably is, which is that they believe in, you know, he's a rookie. He's yours for the next 4 years, you know, until his contract is up. And this is not about necessarily just this week or just next week. This is about building
long-term
a football player.
Sure.
And, you know, understanding the evolution of it. And again, I'm just trying to do it from their standpoint of what I would probably assume is the case. So, yeah, we'd all love to see Devin Singletary do that. Now, I'll say this. If Devin Singletary carries the ball 25 times, he's not averaging 10 yards a carry. So, yeah, he might offer a spark, and that looks great, and I love what he's doing as well. But obviously there's going to be some sort of diminishing returns the more he gets the ball, because that's just simply, you know, not going to happen and continue to happen. And maybe the way they're using him right now is a nice change of pace, which is why he's actually averaging all the yards per carry he's averaging.
Yeah, you gypped him. He's at 12.7. You gypped him
crazy,
a couple yards.
Right? I said 10. Amazing.
Yeah. Sal, with us, 803-0550. Go ahead, yeah.
I have a question for you, Sal, about the approach for this franchise. I'm thinking back 2 years ago. The reason I'm thinking about this is you brought up A.J. Green a while ago, right, as a potential trade target. And someone sent me a link to a piece that said the Bills should beat the Bengals and then trade for A.J. Green. And without making it about A.J. Green, I think we might want to keep open the possibility that they might trade for someone by the deadline to try and be better, right? They did it 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They're out to a 5-2 start and decide we can be better. Let's get a guy that we can have on this team this year and going forward. Brandon Bean likes to trade. I mean, he's been active at the draft and off season. So, you know, I think maybe we should be keeping an eye on that. I mean, maybe Jalen Ramsey's not exactly the right target, multiple firsts, but what do you make of that? Do you think that's something we will track in the next 6 weeks, the trade deadline?
It's a good question. I would not discount it, Jeremy, for every reason you just said. We just saw it happen 2 years ago. And let's remember, they had to pivot on that 2 years ago. They did not expect to be in that position, even though, you know, they weren't, quote-unquote, tanking. They were trying to win. And then, hey, they caught lightning in a bottle in a few games, and they got to 5-2, and suddenly it became about, okay, well, you know, we were rebuilding here, but we've done this right, and we're winning games, so let's go for it. And that's what they did in the middle of the season, and they went, Halloween, right? The trade deadline, and got Kelvin Benjamin. So I would not discount that whatsoever, and you're right. I mean, they're always looking for a way to improve the roster, and I think Brandon Bean is always looking for a deal that can be made that works out for his team. And they do have some draft capital now because of the deals that they made. So that would probably be the best way. When you do a trade deadline deal, it's usually a draft trade, involved picks because the team is doing that.
Is there a position that you would identify? I mean, it's two games into the season. Maybe an injury changes this, but is there a position you would identify? Because when they traded for Kelvin Benjamin, it was very obvious they needed help at receiver.
Yeah.
So if they were going to make any sort of trade down the line today, where is it?
It's a good question.
Where would they target?
Is it right? Nickelback? Is it depth corner?
Well, no, because I'm glad you brought that up. I heard actually, I heard your discussion with Nate on the pregame show about Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I actually did, this is not a point about Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think he's a fantastic football player. But, like, even that, I would not make that trade if I'm the Bills, what the Steelers did, because they have a good secondary. Like, what the return, sure, it might be an upgrade, let's say, from Taron Johnson to Minkah Fitzpatrick. I'm not saying it isn't.
But how
but
much?
Is the upgrade, but is the upgrade so much to be worth a first-round pick that you're going to need next year to actually fill another hole in your roster? Like, I don't think so. You have a secondary that's locked in long-term, contractually.
Yep, yep.
Like, they're all here. Why do that? And you could make the argument Taron Johnson hasn't stayed healthy, and I would understand that. But they did a good job putting Saran Neal in there last week, by the way. Like, and then I look at what the Jalen Ramsey thing. I'm going to make the exact same point. Jalen Ramsey is a great football player. He is really, really good. Is he really worth on this particular team and the way they run their – they have the number one pass-per-play defense – pass defense again in the NFL this year, right now. Number one passing yards per play against the pass and number six overall per game. Well, are you really – do you need to upgrade that much to give a first-round pick? Like, I don't think the drop-off is much is that much considering the way that this team works.
Right, yeah. I had somebody texting yesterday saying they need to get Ramsey to be an elite defense, and they are
– No, they don't.
Right, they're number one against the pass in the last – 16 plus two games since the start of last year. They're number one in the NFL against the pass. So, is that not already elite? You're number one. Yeah,
I agree. It's not a point about Fitzpatrick or Jalen Ramsey, for example. It's a point about they have a very good defense, and they're under contract. They're all still going to be here anyway. Now, the only one maybe to answer your question would be, could it be like? Like they're good on the defensive end, but
pass
again,
rusher.
Are we getting the sacks you need?
Yeah,
like,
pass
do you have
rusher.
That elite pass rusher.
Right. I was thinking you can almost say, Murphy looks good, but you could almost say if they brought in a pass rusher, maybe they then spin Shaq for whatever piece they could get for him.
Maybe injuries pile up and
you never know.
You go for Melvin Gordon.
Oh, I would be surprised at that, right? Yeah.
No,
because he's gonna want the big contract, right?
Right. But I mean if you're the Bills and let's say that they're in the race with the Patriots and they're hanging their one game back. I just wonder how bold Brandon Bean would be. When you're close to a goal as a GM and you go for it, I think your fans respect that an awful lot. As long as you don't, give away too much. And in this scenario, I'm not talking about giving up a first or multiple firsts. They give up a third for Kelvin Benjamin for a year and a half. You know, giving up a fourth-round pick for a tight end that might be able to jump in, or whatever position it might be.
I would think, though, to answer the question overall, we have to be something on offense. I can't see this team right now, even as currently constructed, spending a high asset on something on the defense, which is good, and as I said, under contract, other than Shaq Lawson and Jerry and Lorenzo Alexander, really. I mean, that's it. And you still have options with Shaq Lawson. So they're a very good defense. They're one of the best defenses in the league by whatever metric you want to use. And I would think that if you're going to use an asset to get better, to compete, if you think you're going to the playoffs, it would probably be to be improve the other side of the
for
ball,
sure.
The offensive side.
Yep, for sure.
Speaking of offense, let me get to Paul in Toronto here with Sal. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Sun just seems a little bit brighter when you're 2-0, eh?
We'll take it. Yes, it does. The sun is shining this morning.
I'll tell you, man. Paul, you're not wrong. When, I do my job, I love my job. You won't find many people in the world that love their job more than I do, right? But when you're 2-0 and you're going down to cover a football game, in this situation, it does put a little more bounce in your step, even for a guy like me. And, it's really cool to be a part of that. And we're going to see, by the way, today is what we traditionally refer to as media day, because there's more media generally at the stadium on Wednesdays, because we hear from the coach, we hear from Josh Allen at the podium, we get to talk to the opposing head coach. But what happens on Wednesday is, to give you a little peek behind the curtain, we get media, national media. This is the day they kind of come in a little bit if they want to do a story. So I'm always interested in how many national media might be at the facility. And today I'm expecting there's going to be a couple people. And if they win, next week we'll be kind of bombarded, I think.
Yeah, for New England, right?
Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry to cut you off there.
That's all right. That's very Canadian of you, because we're always wondering what the national media is thinking of us down there. So there you go. I want to ask about the O-line. I mean, usually it is it's a good thing when we're not talking about them. It means they're not getting burned, dismantled last year or the year before. Are they as good as they seem right now, or is it smoke and mirrors? Is it competition? How are they doing?
Look, I think they're solid. I think they bring a lot of really good things to the table. Their athleticism is probably way better than people anticipated, and that's led by Mitch Morse. Mitch Morse is a very good athlete. He's been out in front of a lot of runs, does a really good job in that area. But the entire group is pretty athletic. They can move. We know that they have a bit of a mean streak to them. The only thing I am concerned about right now is the Giants went after him a little bit, went after Josh Allen in the second half, and there were some protection breakdowns. And once they started bringing pressure, Allen had to scramble. He had to get rid of the ball. Now, look, that could very well be that the Giants threw different looks that they had not game planned for. And that can happen in a game, and especially early in the season when you haven't seen a team on film as much. But I'm guessing, you know, the Bengals and then the Patriots, of course, are going to look at what the Giants did in the second half when they started bringing pressure, and they're going to say, okay, they had some trouble with X, Y, and Z. We need to dial up there. And I think that's incumbent now upon the Bills, on Brian Daboll, on Bobby Johnson, to make sure that they understand, and I'm sure they will, look back at where those breakdowns happened and try to correct them.
We'll chat with you again tomorrow. And you know, it's funny. You mentioned Bobby Johnson. I feel like we're going to be talking to you about him a little more as the season goes on, not just the players, the new players they brought in to help the line, but the coaching they're getting with the line. But anyway, that's another story for another day. As always, Mr. Capaccio, thank you. We'll follow your tweets for the latest on the Bills later today.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Sal is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Bills and the Bengals on Sunday. Bills breakfast gets you started at 7 o'clock here on WGR. Game day from the stadium at 8. Countdown to kickoff at 10. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff. Post-game show with Shope and the Bulldog. The overtime show with Nate at 6 o'clock. That is your game day lineup Sunday for Bills Bengals on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sean has done a terrific job throughout our tenure here, and you know, when you start off 2-0, the thing is just not getting too far out in front of yourself, just looking at things for what they are. There's a whole lot more football to be played, and you don't want to be crowning yourself in September. You've got to be very, very careful. We've all seen teams start 4-0, 6-0, and not make the playoffs. And so a lot of football to be played. Put it in perspective, and one practice at a time, one game at a time, and just keep that mentality. You'll have a chance.
That is Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. Bills trying to get to 3-0 against Cincinnati on Sunday at New Era Field. The Bills will hit the practice field later today. Sal will be down at One Bills Drive with the latest. He'll be there for the Sean McDermott news conference and whatever other news comes out of Orchard Park today. The news in New Jersey, East Rutherford, wherever the Giants facility is. Daniel Jones is now the starting quarterback of the New York Giants. After two games, they go to the rookie from Duke. Sam Darnold saying that he's been told by doctors that he should be back in week 5. He won't find Trevor Siemian backing him up on the depth chart because he's out for the season. Suffered an ankle injury in the loss to the Browns the other night. There are reports this morning that the Jets have brought in David Fales, who was with Adam Gase in Miami. And he is going to now back up Luke Falk.
Falk and Fales.
Yeah, I don't want to. Forget it. Let's see. Drew Brees, thumb surgery today for him. The Patriots have lost left tackle Isaiah Wynn. He's not going to be playing against the Bills in a couple weeks. He's on injury reserve. He's out at least 8 weeks. DeSean Jackson looks like he's going to miss a couple weeks with an abdominal strain. And Cam Newton's status for their game is up in the air. He didn't practice yesterday. He's dealing with a foot injury. The Sabres lost in Columbus in preseason game number 2. We've got details on that at WGR550.com. The Yanks beat the Angels last night 8-0. Your headlines brought to you by McDonald's. Need a break from your breakfast routine? Break free with an Egg McMuffin or a Sausage McMuffin with egg for just $2 each. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with a combo meal. And a quick reminder, too, you should go to our website, WGR550.com. Get in on a chance to win a Thursday night football viewing party. This would be for you and 10 of your friends at Fat Bob's Smokehouse. It will include 2 drink tickets, an appetizer buffet, and other great prizes. Fat Bob's Smokehouse, delicious barbecue, award-winning mac and cheese, and 22 beers on tap. 41 Virginia Place in Buffalo for your chance to win. Register at WGR550.com. You said you wanted to get something here.
Yeah,
but I do. What
I do. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to find the tweet for you.
I apologize.
So I got a tweet, and it was a good comment, I thought, from Chris. I'll go back to the beginning of this conversation he and I have had. He writes this about it gets to the players forcing their way out of situations.
Okay.
Jadeveon Clowney, maybe Jalen Ramsey.
That's right. He was traded.
This happens all the time in the NBA, right? And you're seeing, I think you're seeing the NFL world say, we can't let this happen, right? So Chris writes, we've entered a new era of major professional sports where players have started to leverage the power they have against their teams. Seeing fellow athletes force their way out of non-ideal situations has only made this practice more common. For this reason, putting strong people leaders in coaching roles is more important now than ever before. Building a strong culture where players feel respected and appreciated will reduce the odds of players wanting out and potentially tainting the locker room. And he asks, agree or disagree? And I agree. To a point. I agree to a point.
I'll let you see where you're going with this, because I would disagree. I mean, you could have Bill Belichick. If a guy's unhappy and wants to get the heck out of New England, it's up to them to decide if they want to trade him. But
yeah, I think his point is you want to have your players feel respected, which I totally agree. You do want that. Part of, you know, if we go back to Doug Marrone, a big mark against him was how his players felt.
Not the easiest guy to get along with.
He was
right. He's not a people person.
He didn't treat them well.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, sometimes you'll get sports fans that want their players to be shouted at and thrown in lockers and demeaned and told you suck. And for some guys, that does work as a motivating thing. Mm-hmm. Other guys want to feel respected. You know, you can make this point about millennials feel entitled. The point is, your job is to communicate with all of those men in the room and do it in a good way. And so I agree to a point. However, there's something else here that is often at work. You know, you're a family. You are all on the same team. And then it comes time for you to get paid. And all of that stuff about family and us and loyalty is something that they use against the player. Think about Toronto with Mitch Marner, right? Hey, hometown, man, this is your dream come true to play here. So what they want to do is pay him less than he's worth. Because in a salary cap league, that's what teams are going to always try to do. We want to play every player less than they're worth, because you're trying to keep the team together because you're trying to win. So, you know, it's kind of a balance you have to strike there, where you know that the players that you have, they feel you have a good relationship with them. That is a big part of being a coach. I think McDermott is pretty darn good with that stuff. I think
I think that's one of his strengths.
Yes, exactly. So to the point about wanting that, 100% yes.
Can I get a quick butt while you don't?
Sure, sure.
But, as you will point out, you can be, we're all in this together, we're family. At some point, business decisions do also come in.
They do.
Players understand that as well. You can be buddy-buddy and love everybody. At some point, you can't keep everybody.
Right. But, right, exactly. And this is to the point about when the Jaguars take out the ping pong tables. Like, oh, it's going to be all business around here. Like, yeah, okay, whatever you want. What the Bills have done with their facility, I like a lot. That new training facility, hearing all the players rave about it. What does it mean to me? They want to have the guys in the building, right? That's the culture thing.
Hanging out together.
Get together. Be here. Be
off-season
working.
Too.
Be focused. Off-season here. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's all great. It's kind of, all this stuff always has an end point for me. Now it's contract time for Tre'Davious White. You better pay him what he's worth.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't pay him what he's worth, you can try to tell him, you know, we took the chance on you. We drafted you. We love you.
You're happy here.
You're happy.
Right.
You do everything you can to make that player happy.
Right.
But the player and his agent and any player in that role knows all of that is being used to suppress your salary as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with the general point. players forcing their way out to better situations, whether you're Antonio Brown forcing your way out of Oakland because you don't want to play for Oakland, or if you're Jadeveon Clowney who wants a contract extension, or Jalen Ramsey who thinks he's maybe being used the wrong way. Their careers start without making a choice. They don't choose where they go, right? This is the point about maximizing your value. Eric Wood was talking about this maybe with maybe on the roundtable with Chris Brown.
Okay.
Before the Jet game for Le'Veon Bell. I forget. I'm pretty sure it was Eric who I heard talking about this and making the point, saying, looking back, I'm going to always tell a player to maximize your value. And Eric said, look what happened to me. Right?
You never know.
Instant retirement.
Right.
Like, boom, your career's over.
Right.
So it's not to say – I'm not trying to put words in Eric's mouth as I'm remembering this as he's talking about it. But a lot of times when a player is arguing with management about getting paid, his teammates are on his side.
Typically, they would take the union, the player right. side of things, not management. Yes,
for sure. You're on the player's side.
I would say rarely do the players take management side.
Very rarely, and you know sometimes
unless it's like a Le'Veon Bell thing where his teammates openly were angry right. about him walking out on
right.
them, or not showing up.
That's because it got to a point where games are being played. You're not here. It's a distraction for us.
Yeah.
Fine. You don't want to be here. That's fine. You can go. And you know by the time he goes, I'm sure they'd say, "Best of luck, man." You know, you're gonna do what you think is right for you. I'm gonna do what I think is right for me. So I like the conversation. I like the point. I don't fear a world where players use their power to go to different teams. I think that's good. These players, a lot of them are under the thumb of management for a long time. Think about, you know, Devin Singletary. He didn't choose where he goes. Mm-hmm. He's under contract for 4 years. If after two he says, I'm gonna use my leverage to get out, you know, I'm not gonna like it as the Bills are losing a good player, but any league where there's going to be a draft, you know, you didn't sign up to go to Jacksonville. You were told you yeah. must go to Jacksonville. You must go to Seattle. You must go, you know, XYZ. So I always am going to, on some level, applaud the players having power, and using that is something that a lot of people in their own jobs would also do if they could.
To the initial point, was this a text you got, you said, right?
It was a tweet from Chris.
Okay, to the initial tweet. Look, I think there are different situations here, okay? In most cases, I'm going to guess, if it gets to a point where a guy says, trade me, I would guess in most cases it is contract-driven. Jadeveon Clowney was contract-driven. Melvin Gordon, if the Chargers trade Melvin Gordon, it's all about contract. You know, hey, they'll give him 10 or 11. He wants 13 or 14. Minka Fitzpatrick was not, I don't think, I don't like my coach. I mean, Brian Flores just got there. Minka Fitzpatrick was, why would I want to stay here? We stink. We're
right.
a joke, and we're going to stink for 2 years at least. Why would I just, where was he, Alabama? I'm trying to think where he came
yes.
out of. I'm not used to this losing stuff. This is miserable. Sure, South Florida's nice. It's sunny year-round. Why would I want to play here? So Minka Fitzpatrick isn't, it sounds like Jalen Ramsey is a lot about Marone, which from our standpoint wouldn't come as a surprise because Marone's not the easiest guy to get along with. But I guess ultimately, I disagreed with the point about the players have leverage to a point. Ultimately, they don't, because either the player shows up and honors his contract or he sits home and he doesn't make money. And Le'Veon Bell misses out on a year of income last year. And Melvin Gordon's not getting paid right now. And if Jalen Ramsey wants to walk out today and go home, he can, but he's not getting paid. You got to show up to finish your contract, to get to free agency, unless the team says, we don't want to deal with the headache, we're just going to trade
sure.
you. Fine. That sets a really dangerous
right,
precedent, though, if you just start trading everybody who's belly aching. Ultimately, the player does have to show up to get paid. So I would disagree with the point that the players have all the leverage. No, they don't. I mean,
you've
got to show up and play.
What the players are getting is some leverage
yes,
back
they are.
Because all of the mechanisms in place are designed to keep them
where they are,
underpaid and under contract.
The tags are designed to keep you beyond your contract.
Right. The salary cap itself works to keep you underpaid.
Of course it does. And the players had next to little leverage. Now, this is really, I mean, look at what's happened. These trades, this stuff never happened in the NFL. If you were unhappy, Jarris Bird was unhappy, eventually got his way out, but it was rare who was Jason Peters, another guy who was unhappy yep. and got himself traded. Those are rare instances, typically contract-driven. At the end of
was
the day,
Peters,
also,
was Peters wrong?
No, he was much better
the
off.
The Bills didn't want to pay him.
Right. And
he went
paid,
somewhere that did and had
and
a Hall of Fame career and has won a lot.
Well, Dominic Hasek left here and won a cup. But, I mean, at the end of the day, though, I'll say this. It is still up to the team. if the Jaguars feel that Jalen Ramsey is very important, he's under contract for next year, then they would have to pay him a Brinks truck beyond that. If they think he's that important, they can try and work it out with Jalen Ramsey and keep him, because he really doesn't have leverage. He's under contract to Jacksonville. End of story.
His leverage is how much they miss him if he decides not to play.
If he doesn't show up. Yep. Right, right. Yep. If he walks out now, which I'm sure he wouldn't, but if he says, I'm not coming to camp next summer, just so you know there, Tom Coughlin, I'm not going to be in camp. And I'm not going to OTAs. Then it's up to the Jaguars to decide what they want to do about it.
And there's only one position where you never see that happen.
Quarterback.
Yep.
Right.
Quarterbacks never sit. Quarterbacks never sit. Boy, they always get paid.
Quarterback ever sat. I just saw today there was a comment from Stephen Jones about the Dak Prescott contract and how he's going to be in rarefied air with this new contract.
Remember 4 weeks ago when
$30 million?
He was being made fun of for wanting more than 30? He's going to get more than 30. Of course he is.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Especially when they have a great year this year.
Yeah.
Quick text from or tweet from Connor. What do you think about the NFL adopting the old Division I rule? If you leave a team for another team or a better team,
sit out.
There should be some sort of disincentive.
Transfer,
I guess,
rules. You'd sit out for a year, basically.
That was a bad rule for college.
They changed it.
It's a bad rule. Yeah. It's designed to suppress player rights and movement. So, no. Not a fan at all.
And I'm guessing you'd have to collectively bargain something like that. There's no way the players' union would ever sign off for that. They talk about a average career span of what, 4 years? You're going to sit 1 year out because you want to change teams if you're on a really bad team? They would never go for that. 803-0550 to join us. We will talk more about the Bills and the NFL from a national perspective. Top of the hour, Gary Grambling will join us from Sports Illustrated. And we'll talk about the Bengals at 9:30 with Dave Lapham on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If they're going to trade this player, it's only going to be because the return coming back is going to make it worthwhile. And based on the latest information that I've gathered from Sabres camp, I just don't see it. I'm not saying that he's not going to get traded at some point, but this has been a topic of conversation with most of it, the speculation that is generated from European sources and European reporting. So going into camp, it's not a top headline for me around the Buffalo Sabres.
That's Darren Drager from an interview earlier this month he had with the Instigators, talking about Rasmus Ristolainen, who has yet to play in the two preseason games for the Buffalo Sabres for whatever reason. They'll be back in action on Friday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I have a stat of the day for you today.
All right, and then I'm going to whine. I didn't whine during the whiner line.
All right, I'll make this quick. Someone tweeted in, I tweeted that earlier, you know, what's your mind on this week? Is it Cincinnati or New England? And I've been getting a lot of stuff about one game at a time, Cincinnati, take care of business first, blah, 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 blah. And some guy tweeted in and said, it's got to be Cincinnati. The Bills don't do well against Andy Dalton. And I thought, is that right? Have they? And then I'm trying to think, have they beaten Andy Dalton? One time, my stat of the day, Andy Dalton, career against the Bills, is 4-1. Now, he doesn't kill him. He's got 9 touchdown passes and 7 picks in the 4 games, and typically the games are close. The Bills have lost by 3, by 3, by 4. They won by 4. There was one year they lost by 13 to Andy Dalton, so I actually was surprised to see that. Andy Dalton, 4-1, career record against the Bills. The lone win by the Bills came in 2016 when they won 16-12. There have been some dog offensive performances against Andy Dalton, or the Cincinnati Bengals, I should say. The Bills have never scored more than 24 points in a game played against Cincinnati since Andy Dalton's been the starting quarterback. So there you go. He's 4-1 against the Bills. So if you're worried about me looking past this game, hey, Howard, don't forget, Andy Dalton's 4-1 against the Bills. There's my stat of the day on him. Your whine?
Yeah. My whine. First, it's also going to probably reveal something. I'm going to go with no for definitely for you. I don't know about Brayton. Have you seen The Princess Bride? Is that a no for you two?
I have not seen it, but God.
I've heard of it.
I've heard it's a classic.
Rob Reiner movie? Princess Bride, movie?
Sony Pictures Entertainment CEO Tony Vinciquerra says that very famous people whose names I won't use want to redo The Princess Bride.
Who was in that?
Kerry Elwes and Andre
Billy
the Giant.
Billy Crystal in that?
And
yes, Billy Crystal was in that. I've seen clips of it.
Mandy Patinkin. And can I get anybody else in there?
It's a good movie, right?
Oh, it's classic. It's great.
I've seen clips.
So let's go ahead and not remake that.
Why?
Just
leave it alone?
You know, let's just not.
Are there certain movies that should just never be remade?
Yes.
Just to be left by themselves?
Sure, right, yes. You want to make a crappy sequel? You make a crappy sequel. But don't remake it.
Princess Bride 2 is a different discussion than remaking the first
one. Would she be the queen at that point, maybe?
Well, no, it depends. Maybe the queen was ruling for like 60 years and she'd still be a princess.
Yeah. Don't remake that. Thanks. Signed everyone.
I like that guy's voice, whoever that is.
That is his name Wallace Shawn?
He's the, isn't he the dinosaur in Toy Story? Right?
Why is the name Wallace Shawn coming to me?
Is that the
it is. It's Wallace Shawn.
Is he the dinosaur in Toy Story?
Yes.
I like when he's playing the video game and he has the little dinosaur arms and he can't hit the buttons. Anyway, that's funny.
Anyway,
I digress.
This has been me talking about a film with two people that have never seen anything. Another edition of These Two Never Do. You never see anything.
On your discussion about players' rights and leverage. Let's see. Brandon,
sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. Brandon tweeted in, I agree on your players' rights / leverage take. I just don't want to see players sitting out to get traded so they can take less money to play for a team like the Patriots. Not only because I'm a Bills fan, but it just adds another way for the rich to get richer. Look.
You want to be that team, start winning.
Right. If you are a player and you leave to go to another team and it's not, and you go and take less money because you got a chance to win a Super Bowl, why? Blame it on the team that doesn't win. Right. Become a winning football team. Become a destination. Become a place where that guy doesn't look at where they don't look at other teams and go, boy, I wish I could be like that team. I want to be in the playoffs every year. I want to have a chance to win a Super Bowl before I'm done. So that's not, you know, that you would never. Why would I get on a player's case for that? Blame the team that he's on. Put out a better product. Be a winning football team. And your guys wouldn't necessarily be looking elsewhere all the time. 803, like who would want to play in Miami right now for the next couple years?
It depends. I mean, are they showing the Princess Bride in the break room during, you know,
maybe
off
they
days?
Are. The original.
That might get
the,
some people in the seats.
Not the remade version of the Princess Bride. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.